right, Gumbo listeners, we are back once again with another episode of Data Protection Gumbo. And I'm super excited about this one. We're going to dive in with Evan Powell, who is the founder and CEO over at Deep Tempo. And maybe you've heard of it or maybe you've not, but I'm sure Evan will definitely break it down for us. We're going to talk about transforming threat detection with data lakes and language models and deep learning. So all the fun stuff here. Evan, welcome to the Gumbo. How are you?
Hey, good. Thanks for having me. Yeah, looking forward to it.
Awesome. So first, a little bit about Deep Tempo, and I guess also how you, maybe a little about the story of Deep Tempo, since you are one of the founders.
Great. Yeah, so I'm a many-time founder, as you know, of various companies focused on enterprise. And what we saw a couple of years ago now was the potential of taking essentially a cousin of a language model, and instead of letting this language model learn on Shakespeare and whatever you find on the internet, what if you trained one only giving it logs? Well, it might be kind of a sad language model, I guess, but from that emerged what we call a log language model, or also an LLM. And it turns out they're quite good at finding suspicious incidents. And that journey has been a lot of fun over the last year. We've been working with a very large bank in particular and a couple of other design partners. We came out of stealth in the fall. We can talk more about it, but essentially, cybersecurity. We've got some issues. We're losing trillions of dollars in cybercrime. What can we do to more effectively have defense in depth? So assume they've hopped over the ramparts somehow. Can you actually see an attacker in your environment? And that's what we're focused on today.
Okay, yeah, it's very much needed service today. So the conversation is going to be a really great conversation to make sure, number one, that everyone is gaining the insight just around data lakes. And I'm sure everyone knows what they are that listen to the podcast, but maybe start us off with a definition of a data lake, or your definition of a data lake.
My background is I had been helping build data lakes, right? And so I'm kind of following the data into cybersecurity. And one definition, or a definition I might use, is it's a way to aggregate, of course, data, but also aggregate related tooling and centralize it so that your enterprise can use that central set of data and related tools to make sense out of the world with information. So it definitely is similar to this notion of a data platform, at least in my mind. And people can argue about, is it a lake house? Is it a data lake? Is it a warehouse? I'm not arguing about those. I'm saying it's a spot for data with related tools provided as a service, typically within an enterprise. And in our particular case, Snowflake, of course, is a cloud-hosted one that we're quite close to. But there are on-premise versions, of course, that are either DIY, built yourself, or purchased out there as well.
So you mentioned Snowflake. And is Databricks also something that is kind of in that same grain of thinking there as far as what those particular products do? And how does your product actually maybe integrate with that, or kind of works with those particular types of products in order to get information back out to customers? For the most important thing is really understanding some of the analytics behind it and getting more valuable information about their business.
Well, as data has become seen as something that could be delivered as a bit of a product within the enterprise, there's also been a recognition that silos of data are somewhat problematic, right? Moving data from here to there, hither and yon, as they say, has costs, both direct costs in terms of moving the data, indirect costs in terms of delaying insight and so forth. Operational complexity as well. And so what we're seeing is a real demand for, hey, can you bring your intelligence, again, we call it a log language model plus related software, and run it on my data? I don't want to put a pinhole in my firewall and have you exfil my data out to your intelligence I want your intelligence to come in and run on my data.
Okay.
And that is, there's a lot of, it sounds easy and hey, it's just containers, you know, how hard can it be? But the data controls, the governance, and also the scale out, and also the billing, et cetera, all of those things have been productized by Snowflake to allow independent developers like ourselves to actually be consumed easily by their users. Now, could you do the same sort of thing on Databricks? Yes, for sure. They have not invested quite as much, or at least they're not in the market yet with this marketplace for what is called a native app. But technically, the paradigm of bring the intelligence to the, I mean, we've been talking about it in this world, right, for a long time. Much better to bring the little executables. I mean, these models, as big as they are minuscule compared to the data. But let's bring the models and the intelligence to the data. And Snowflake just happens to have really productized and thought through this whole experience. And so that's why we came out of the gate with them as a launch partner in November.
Okay. And everyone's talking about security and making sure that your data is secure. There's things out there like ransomware, and then there's tons of bad actors out there. And someone's always trying to either get access to your data or impersonate you and kind of steal your identity. And all of our information is out on the dark web, right? So using different passwords and things like that are very important. But I want to get your take on maybe some of the best practices for leveraging language models. You said log language models, right? And maybe also utilizing advanced machine learning and maybe AI in order to kind of enhance the security around that particular process.
I think first off, you know, do eat your vegetables, right? So there is a lot that we as a security first company, but any company, of course, ought to do to try to, in terms of multi-factor authentication, we use, you know, YubiKey. We do a lot of things to try to control our perimeter. So I'm not saying don't eat your vegetables, don't control your perimeter. I am saying anticipate that regulatory authorities and others like CISA, even DARPA, the SEC for that matter, that they might be onto something when they say defense in depth is a good idea. Assume a breach is going to occur. What are you going to do?
Right.
And it's really important both to be able to see as soon as you can that that's something might be happening, A, and then B, also just keep the footprints and the fingerprints so that you have a, because let's say the worst does happen, it's ransomware, one of the worst things. So ransomware does occur. You got to get to, especially if you're a larger entity, you've got to get to confidence that, assume you decide to pay it or somehow you fix it, maybe you roll back to data, right, with your excellent backup solution, which is a security solution, of course, now.
Yeah.
Then what? Are you safe? How do you know? So defense in depth is the paradigm, and people have talked about it for many years. The challenge is it's hard. We have a data problem. We want to secure our data. We have a data problem because the logs alone are so enormous.
Yeah.
That storing them is a challenge and making sense out of them as well. And so this is why we targeted the log language model first at this beachhead, if you will, use case. Let's look at all the flow logs, which by definition, there's a lot of them. And let's have something that will tell you whether something suspicious is occurring, A. But B, if you just tell your security team, like, well, that looks weird, well, they may not be super happy with you, right? Mm-hmm. They need to know context. So to your point, in addition to the log language model, what we use is LLMs, and you can pick effectively. But what we're doing is to map questionable sequences to known attack patterns. And so if you think about that, there's been a lot of work by folks like MITRE in the security space to actually say, like, here's 350 known patterns of attack. So what we thought is when our models say, hey, this looks like a weird sequence, why not map that to a known attack pattern? If there is a good mapping, and give you that confidence score on how close the mapping is. So when you use something like us, you still use your SIM that your security team is used to using, which is basically where all your incidents are managed, right? Still use that. But now you get incidents from us that say, you know, your defense in depth, you know, early warning is suggesting something may be happening here. It looks most like this exploitation attack, or it looks like recon, or sorry to say it, but it looks like exfiltration is already happening and your data is, you know, leaving out these ports. Mm-hmm. And so we're giving context as well as an alert, and we're using AI to find the issues, but then a different flavor of generative AI to map the issue to known patterns as well.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I was just reading an article. I think it was a Wall Street Journal article about Brian Craig. You've heard that name before, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a pretty extensive. It was about a 15-minute read, and it was very insightful around him and, you know, remaining kind of off grid, so to speak, because he's getting, you know, he gets lots of death threats and things like that, and attackers kind of seek him out because he's investigating and trying to just kind of blow the cover off of what's going on. But in the mind of a, let's say, a hacker, right, what as far as logs are concerned and the intelligence and information that's given through all of those different parameters or different lines that are in that. So you're talking billions and billions of, right? And how can a SOC analyst even keep up with that besides using some type of platform or product like yours, right?
Yeah, it's difficult. So there is traditional machine learning as well, which is to say, as opposed to a neural net, which in our case, we're building something that is self-supervised. So it's really learning all of the patterns itself. But earlier generation, you would kind of help the model quite a bit more, right? With feature engineered models, you pick the algorithm as opposed to having the model pick the algorithm and the patterns you think might be there. Those systems actually work. What we have heard, though, is they tend to be fairly brittle. So what I mean by that is they take a while to get up and running, to tune into your environment. And then if your environment changes, which it is changing, then they drift very quickly. But that said, there are environments in which you can use existing out-of-the-box machine learning where it's kind of a static environment. Obviously, lots of flow logs coming through, but the environment isn't changing. So prior generation ML is used to some extent in those environments. And then you have rules. And rules, similar to the prior generation ML, they're both predicated upon having some idea of the, again, of the attack patterns. We have some through MITRE, as I said, but in a world in which AI is definitely being used by the attackers to, you know, auto-gen on demand an exploit for these CVEs for your environment that'll work well with what it knows about your defenses, you know, good luck coming up with signatures. So any system and rules are by definition signature-based. Prior ML, it's a gray area, but they make some assumptions on signatures. And that world is getting problematized. It's getting harder and harder because the attackers are morphing their attacks. And so that's where having an intelligence system that, again, is based on these new, much more scalable models is probably your best bet. It'll flag anything that looks strange, and then it'll do the mapping back to a known attack, but it starts with that looks unusual in your environment, is worth investigating. Let's then map it as opposed to just looking for signatures.
And I guess the more that it analyzes, the smarter it gets because it continues to learn, maybe, right, as it sifting through.
Yes, and there's some good details in there, but our vision is collective defense. So collective defense. Yeah, via deep learning. The most concrete way that we're doing today is the model that is running on Snowflake, our software, which is, you can find it under Tempo or Deep Tempo, right, in their marketplace, has been informed by having looked at over 100 billion data points at a large financial. Right. So the model itself has gotten smarter as it's seen more data. Yeah, so that is exactly the case. There's a lot of details on how to really set up lifelong learning, and I can't say that we have cracked that. It's not as if I see an incident today on my laptop and, tonight it's helping someone else. It depends on, what data rights we have to even get out the intelligence of the model. But in some cases, we have the rights to get the weights out, and we are applying them right back into the model, and the model's getting smarter.
Okay. And is there anything from a data governance and compliance and audit perspective that you would like the Gumbo listeners to, number one, maybe take a look at or make sure that they know about? Because you mentioned financial services, I think, right?
Right.
And I immediately thought about DORA, which is the
Yes.
Digital Operational Resilience Act. That's going into effect January the 17th. And it is a pretty lengthy regulation, so to speak. And then there's all these different articles that, kind of tie to these different pillars or chapters. And I would say it's moving fast, but it's been on the horizon for quite some time. So is there anything specifically just from that perspective that you really would like the Gumbo listeners to know?
I think two things. One is that DORA is a great case where you can think of if you're asked to run a system or to demonstrate your ability to run a system, at least to regulators, in a more resilient way. Really, it comes deep. Defense in depth is a key piece of that. So some flavor of beyond the perimeter defense is really important, and so that's where a solution like DeepTempo becomes so important. The second is these systems can enable you to, keep better thanks to running on your Snowflake or running in your environment, keep hold of your logs. I mean, your logs as a, if an attacker really gets access to your, how you do IP addressing as an example, they're beginning to have a map for how to move around your environment, which you do not want. So it's important to ask folks like ourselves, how do you actually reduce your own potential attack vector? So, and so that's where the data governance, with Snowflake that we talked about, or being able to run us fully on premise. In fact, our system, one of the things we have users do is we say, oh, you've got IP addresses. Yeah, all these logs are, based on IPs. Don't give us the IPs, right? Just give us, come up with a UID for those IPs. The model obviously doesn't care. It could be any hash, right? Just give us the hashes. So obviously it's a good idea to make sure that as you're moving towards better defense in depth solutions, you don't open up an attack vector yourself.
Yeah, it's pretty challenging out there right now because there's so many products. I mean, the cybersecurity landscape, then you throw in backup and recovery, storage, compute, networking, all of these different things, and then you have to have the intelligence inside of your organization. So from a skill set perspective, there's already a skills gap with cybersecurity professionals. Of course, layoffs are still happening and companies are running lean now. And so we're all kind of tasked with doing more with less. And so I really want to get your opinion, and this is the final question for you here. Where do you see, I guess, log analysis and just kind of capturing logs and being able to use that information in order to really kind of go with that defense in depth approach and kind of keeping your security posture really, really high? Where do you see the future going? Is there something in particular that you're looking toward or something that, you're pretty excited about?
Yeah, I would say that security has to become, is becoming a more normal sector. What do I mean by that? I mean, we talked about it when we started, a data platform, right? Why do we have in security a dominant market share held by five platform companies, all of which are vertically integrated from the agent on your box to the UX of your users? It just isn't that way in other industries quite so much. We need more horizontal competition, and that's where Snowflake and others are playing a huge role. So if you're making investments in what do I do with all this data, just know that you can now pump your security data into those platforms and get to a world in which you're not only using solutions like ours to be more intelligent, but you're also opening yourself up by kind of escaping some of the lock-in. Doesn't mean you don't use those systems, but you control the data gravity, you control it. You use them if you want a UX for your SIM, fine, give them access to some data, but don't use the SIM as your primary data store. At that point, you're locked in and Cisco will pay off their acquisition of Splunk and even faster because the prices are going up. So it's a structural change in security of which we're a small part, but I'm really quite excited about that. And then just quickly on our side, when you actually double click on what's going on underneath security, the technological underpinnings are pretty aging. It's basically log indexing is under there. And those systems are scaling to the extent that they can, but they just are not great at flagging novel attacks. And the future, unfortunately, is full of novel attacks. So some sort of solution that can scale better and make sense out of the novel attacks that are coming, we do think, obviously I'm super biased here, but we do think it's an important piece of your future solution. You know, don't paper over it only, right? It's important to have compliance. It's important to secure your perimeter, as we said, manage your posture overall, but also invest a little bit in actually fixing the data science problem that is undermining everything we do in security today, which has to do with making sense out of masses of logs. And that's where we come in. So those are the two things I'd say.
Okay.
Move yourself towards a more open approach and take a look at new approaches to making sense out of the telemetry we all have access to.
And you mentioned it already, but how can Gumbo listeners get access to your platform?
Yeah, this is the two come together, right? So try that open data platform. If you have a Snowflake account, you can grab it and try it for free today. Just look for Deep Tempo or Tempo. If you don't have one, well, they are giving out $400 in credits, pretty much anyone who signs up with one. So go try that out. Try us out there. Does that mean you have to productize or go to production, that is? On Snowflake, not necessarily, but it means your POC time now went from months and months to set up a new vendor in security traditionally to, hey, let's spend some time over lunch and try this out. So please do try it out. Please do get in touch with any feedback as well. What would you like to see next? That's how it's going to happen.
Okay, great. Very insightful conversation. I know I learned quite a few things here, Evan. So I do want to thank you for being a guest here on Data Protection Gumbo. And before I let you go, everyone out there, please do check us out on YouTube. We are still growing there. We joined late, so we have less than 100 subscribers. We do need more. So please go and subscribe to us on YouTube. And we do have a newsletter coming out, Gumbo Briefs, which is going to be a very, very, very insightful and great newsletter. We're working on it right now, and we're not going to rush to get it out because we are putting a strategy together. And so it's going to be hitting the airwaves really soon. And then go out and join the Backup and Recovery Professionals LinkedIn group, which has 26,000. Plus members, and we have great conversations around cybersecurity, blockchain, storage, disaster recovery, and data analytics, lots of different nerdy topics there. So please check us out there again. And Evan, thank you again for being a guest right here on Data Protection Gumbo.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.